perhaps.
Okay, so, yeah, we're ready for the next talk. Yeah, please, could you close the door? Close the door. Yeah, yeah. Okay. So, yeah, we are ready for the next talk. The next speaker is Jose Gomez, and he's going to talk about a very interesting topic and very popular topic. So, my name Susi. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you. I'd like to start this. I'd like to start this with our daily mantra for many of us. Can you hear me back there? More or less. And there? Better. Okay, this is more. I will try to keep this dance. Please raise your hand if you cannot hear me. Okay? I want everybody to hear, and let's see how this goes now. Welcome. This is the SUSE ID project description and project showcase. We are here to show how SUSE has tackled their IAM landscape. So first, I think it's important to show how did we get here. So let's go through a little bit of the story of SUSE. So SUSE was founded in 1992 in Germany, was one of the first companies to go market for Linux Enterprise. SUSE was acquired by Novell in 2003. Then Novell was acquired by Attachment Group in 2011. Then Attachment Group was acquired by Micro Focus in 2014. And then in 2019, SUSE became independent. Do you see the pattern here after 2003? Everybody here long enough in an organization that has gone through mergers can definitely spot it. It never ends well. But who are you, you might ask? Our dear friend here presented me earlier, but I can elaborate a little bit more. I'm Jose. I'm a full-stack engineer in SUSE. I've been working in SUSE 6 to 7 years. 5 years in the customer center, and 1 year in the platform engineering team. And with all of this baggage in my back, I can confidently say that I have no idea what I'm doing. I just sit down at a computer, I type things, and they work, and sometimes I don't. So it is what it is. I want to bring up a small disclaimer in this talk. We here in this talk are not wanting to sell you anything. We are going to talk about how we got to our IAM nightmare, and what steps are we going to take to make it better. We will mention products, we will mention things that are necessary for the plot, but in no way, shape, or form are we selling anything here. Yes, I do work for SUSE, but that doesn't mean that I'm here to market SUSE. With that out of the way, let's go back to our original part. So how do we got here? A small summary, in case you missed it. So we were founded in 92. Chain of acquisitions, now we're independent. This, of course, brought the classic. So every time there is a merger, two companies work in different ways. One of the ways will win. It's always like that. They can never be fully integrated because there will be two different governance models. So we have now multiple password providers because every merge, every movement requires new system, new platforms. We have multiple LDAPs because we were used to work like this in 1987. We were used to work like this in 1997. We were used to work like this in 2007, and so on and so forth. We also have multiple add-ons and bridges because those old systems were working really nice, really fine for the technology at the moment. But we have new standards like OpenAuth, OpenID, and so on, but we cannot just recycle the old systems. So we have to bring new pieces of code that actually make the old pieces of software work with new protocols. That also means maintenance burden. We also have things like Active Directory because we cannot get the fact that Windows is also used in organizations, so that is also a piece to maintain. We have radius servers because we like to connect things together as well. The more the merrier, right? But so at the end of the day, everybody is following or is feeling like this. So you know who you are, you know where to go to, but it's way too many identities, way too many things. So why are we doing this? As I have clearly stated, I think our authentication systems are not fully standardized. Logging into a service may require navigating a nightmare of just services around and sometimes manual interaction, depending on the case. At the time of writing or at the time of presenting this, every employee needs at least two identities. So we have a SaaS provider product there where we can authenticate and do a part of our work. And we have also LDAP and all other protocols where we have another identity to also work. I think with this, many people can also feel a bit identified when you work in a big company that usually happens. This, of course, comes with a problem on security and compliance concerns. We have multiple IAM services around, and they bring problems when you try to govern them, because everybody has their own system. There is an inconsistent MFA implementation because every system does it their own way, and it's not so easy to steer them into proper ways or into the single way. And there's no standardized source of identity because Company A used to use Active Directory, and that's the source of truth. Company B uses LDAP in its own way and cannot properly merge with Active Directory because there is an encoding here that is not available there, or it's a specific software feature that is not here but that is there. That also means on the administration side, we need multiple tools to just attend a single request. And there is many integrations to take care for before actually attending one of the requests. And with this, I think I will show a little bit of how a SUSE employee or a SUSE partner works in a daily day basis with some of the systems that SUSE provides for them. So let's start with the first login. So you go to Jira because you are a partner in SUSE and you want to keep in touch with the progress of your software or your software request. You're prompted to authentication. You said, okay, username and password, oh good. And you go to Confluence and you have to authenticate again. Username and password, and say, okay, it's fine. Now you go to the build service. In case people here work with SUSE products, the build service is backbone for this. It loads, it's all beautiful, nice. You click on login and authenticate. Then you said, okay, I will check my Boxzilla box. You open the Boxzilla, you realize it's an important box that you have a relationship with SUSE, you need to have security for this. Sure, let's authenticate and login again. You said, okay, fine. I am not a SUSE partner. I just bought some products from SUSE. So I'll just go to the SUSE customer center, try to check my subscriptions, and login, but with a different prompt now. Doesn't look like the previous ones. You said, okay, I'm an employee. I'll just go to my corporate email and authenticate, but yet another prompt. So at the end of the day, this is what everybody experiences. So we want to go to SUSE products and always authenticate. But you might ask yourself, why not move into yet another SaaS product, cloud service, or third-party service? And I can confidently say it to you that that would not be very open source of you. For once, we at SUSE want to comply with many regulations, with more regulations as possible. The first set of regulations here we will be going through is, first of all, GDPR, which is very important in the European Union. The NIS2 regulations as well, which tie us to have less people and to know more about the supply chain of our software in general. And the DORA certificate, the DORA regulation as well, which also forces us to know and to keep track of our system, information systems. This is a nice guess there. But there's always a catch, right? So with all of this I've been talking to you, you kind of can guess the hint, the gist, sorry, that we cannot use a third party into our authentication system. But that overly leads you to self-hosting. But self-hosting is not free because it comes with its own issues. So self-hosting for sure will enable you, or us in this case, to comply with more regulations because you control the software that is running. You take the decisions. You have the data. But that comes with a problem because there is no such free thing as a free lunch. Every new solution that you bring to the table comes with new problems. Self-hosting brings costs in all of this area. You need operations to take care of the servers that you're putting in place. You need data centers to actually host the things, because if you use the cloud, you're breaking the first premise of self-hosting. It's not in your premises. You need data handling practices. You need security hardening. You need personnel that is taking care of these systems. You need frontline support to actually take care of the requests. In the past, you just relay all of that to the service provider, and is there a problem? You just pay some money, and that's it. And now you have to absorb those costs. In our case in particular for SUSE, we do have some of these costs already in our normal operations. So they don't really make a bulge. That doesn't mean that they are not fully free. So for the case of data centers, we have data center personnel. We have data center operations teams, so that we can rely on that. And bringing this project into the mix does not constitute much of an increase in the workload. The same for departments with support and so on. But it does bring new costs on operation staff, data handling, and security handling, for sure. But enough. Let's see some diagrams, and let's go through more or less how did we want to build this solution and how it will be looking in the future. So we want to put SUSE ideas, the project of the name, in the center of all the products and services that SUSE provides. That way we can have a centralized place where to control all of this, and of course, as was in one of the slides, be an exemplar of digital sovereignty. So at first, all of our software products that will be running are running as using SLES as a base. SLES is the SUSE Linux Enterprise operating system. On top of SLES, we are building, with logical security, SLES is running on encrypted disks and volumes, of course, and we are also trying to achieve this fact of using confidential computing in the underlying compute resource always, as where it's available. On top of SLES, we have two main products. As I said, this is not a sales pitch at all. It just so happens that this is what we are running. We have Rancher Prime for controlling all the containerized workloads, and we have the SUSE virtualization product line where we will be hosting this set of underlying products or underlying software packages that we will be using for our project. So for the monitoring side, we have Prometheus, this is standard in the cloud. We have Cert Manager to do certificate brokering. And on the right side where the virtualization is, we have the databases pretty much. So Postgres, 390S, Garage, Patroni for orchestrating Postgres and care availability. And on top of all of this infrastructure is where our integrations come. So we have a set of software products that we will be integrating and building from scratch. I think they're, well, I don't think I made the slides, I know. All of them are intentionally read from left to right to be the ones that we are creating. And then the last side is the one that we are integrating from our side. So we have IDM Merge. It's a small solution where we're merging many identity providers into one. We have an HR Sync tool, which I think people here have been involved in the working with HR systems. They are never easy. They are never just a single MPI endpoint. There's always a report involved. We have the IDM Migrate, which is another tool for us to merge multiple identity systems. We will learn about that later. We have LDAP Search and Bind, which is a nice tool for interacting with many LDAP servers when they don't really match about organizational units and structures. And at the end of the day, all of this will be fronted by Authentic as a front-end IDP, where we will provide the UI interfaces for people to talk and interact with the services as well. All of this is part of a bigger ecosystem that we want to build, where we don't really care much about where it's on the line, but rather what we want to provide and what to connect with our community as well. Not only the corporate side, as I've been talking in the last 40-something slides, but also the community in the OpenSUSE community that interacts a lot with the companies. We have many things that we are sharing across these two entities, and we want to have a foundation of components here where, at the end of the day, SUSE ID and the community solution, CanIDM, are powering all of these protocols and all of these solutions. Along the way, we have done a lot. This is only a small excerpt of everything that has been done so far in the project, as this is a continuous project, but along the way we have created a lot of open source contributions and fixes to projects upstream, including, and not limited to this list, there's many other issues and things that you will see if you stalk us a little bit. But just to mention a few, Authentic, SaltStack, SmallStep, Django, Python, Django Python LDAP, CanIDM, Podman PY, and Golang LTIF. And along the way, we also birthed a couple of projects like StepDance. This is a client certificate tool made easy. LDAP Search and Bind, as it was earlier in the diagram. The IDM Merge, which is an identity aggregator, deduplicator. It's a bunch of ors. You will see what there is. This project, some of them are already alive in GitHub. You can find them. Not all of them are live yet, because we are still developing some parts, but surely nothing there is critical. I think we will be releasing soon, so keep an eye on that. And with this, I open the QA session. I think we have enough time. We have a question there.
Please repeat.
Of course. Okay. In the architecture diagram, there was a mention to garage. And your question is, was it always the plan or was it a side effect of MinIO? It was the plan. We were not considering MinIO at the moment, or we started using MinIO and the debacle happened. So the decision was not made in the moment. Just so happens that garage was convenient. But it wasn't the case of we started with MinIO and then we had to switch. Not at all. The question is, what is in the roadmap? What is the next steps for the project? We're rolling out Soonish for public-facing services, integrations toward the new project. We know that it will take some reconfiguration for consumers to actually integrate into the new system. For now, we're testing a couple of operational responsibilities, let's say. But I would say the next step so surely we'll be start integrating new services into it. There was another question.
There is a question from the internet.
Yes.
From the Matrix channel. How do you handle secret mutation in this tech?
Does it pick it up or should I repeat it?
You should repeat
okay.
It.
The question from the internet is, how do I handle secret rotation from?
In the stack. It's from Pre.
Okay. How do we handle secret rotation from the stack? All of this stack is handled by infrastructure as a code. So secret rotation is surprisingly easy. In the event that it's needed, yeah, I can. I know the skeptical phase. Some of our infrastructure can be failover quite fast, so we can rotate the secrets in failover moments. So just create a new one with the new secrets, a new service with the new secrets, failover real quick, update the other one, and that's it. The question is, when can we use the Authentic UI as a SUSE employee? That is going to happen in this month. You surely can start doing that. We can for sure have a more internal communication with more details about this. We have another question.
The IDM merge thing you created, could you expand upon what that is?
The IDM merge tool, what that is? I don't have the slides at hand, so I will not attempt to go back to it. But we have many sources of authentication where the user data is duplicated, but not necessarily has the same natural keys. For example, some people in the community some employees that also are members of community have different usernames. For corporate policy, they have the standardized one, but for their own life, they have their own one. So we need a way to know who is who for our compliance requirements as well. So some of them we need to track and point from some other tool because they don't know each other who is to who. Like if you say UID FUBAR doesn't match UID JCOMES.
And this was open or is it becoming?
It's becoming open. It's not yet open.
When?
I cannot tell you for sure next week, but in the soonish. We have another question there.
Will the usernames in this process be standardized?
The question is, will the usernames in this process be standardized? Corporate-wise, yes, they have to be standardized. Community-wise, we don't really have a requirement for standardization other than following practices, as you should not use bad words or things like that. Not much that I could really explain about that other than this. Corporate-wise, yes, we are standardizing some of the usernames, of course.
I have a question.
Please do.
In your first, when the slide that you mentioned, the acquisitions,
yes.
You said that was a pattern or something that you didn't get the...
Oh.
It was a joke, I didn't get it. In the
merges. Yeah, companies founded, companies acquired. Then the acquirer of the acquirer is acquired. Then the acquirer of the acquirer is acquired. Then the acquirer of the acquirer is acquired. So, right. The problem with that is that every time you get acquired, you get a new system. Well, not a new system, a new environment, which brings a new system. And yeah.
And if you've not experienced it, it's inevitable you'll experience it at some point.
Yep.